Well, if you're glad you saved, say amen.
Amen.
Boy, it's good to be in a house full of saved people. You might not be saved. You might not could have said that with assurance in your heart. And I promise you, today might be a good day for you. You might get to stand up on, it was on a Sunday. Bless the name of God. I'm glad to be here. I begin to think about this. Sometimes we try to figure things out inside our own mind, and I ain't real smart. But the best I can figure, now, Brother Jeff, he's first string around here. And evidently, Brother Alton, he was second string, but he got sick. So they called in the third string right here. But I'm telling you what, I'd rather be third string for the Lord and Jesus Christ than be first string for the devil. I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. If it wasn't his plan, it wouldn't happen. And he's got something needful for us. I believe we got a simple message from a simple-minded preacher. I'll be honest with you. And if we could heed to this, it's real easy. Just to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's just that simple. As a small child, you can get it. I mean, it's so complex that the wise men are scratching their heads over it, but yet so simple that a small child can come to the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Thank you so much for letting me be here, for having me. Y'all didn't shut the door when I started walking up, and I appreciate that. There's not a lot of churches that would accept a third string preacher, so I appreciate y'all accepting one this morning. And I promise you, I probably won't be as good as what you normally hear, but I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm gonna give it up to the Lord and let Him have His way in the service. And if you ain't saved, I'm begging you already, before the altar call even starts, would you come this way and ask Jesus to save you? It'd be the best thing that ever happened to you. Maybe you are saved and you got questions, you got concerns. Maybe there's a lot of Christians on Prozac and Xanax and all these other medications because they just can't handle the troubles of their life. I'm telling you, there's one that can handle. There's not a burden that He cannot bear. He said, take upon you His yoke, for His burden is easy and His yoke is light. If you would, turn with us in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, as you find your place, if you would stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Like I said before, I'm just a simple-minded preacher and I don't have a whole lot, but what little bit message I got, I'm going to give it to you the best I can. And the Holy Ghost can breathe on it, and it'll be everything that we need in this hour that we need it in. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, let's start reading in verse number 12. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. God, I thank You for letting us have Your Word. God, I thank You for letting us feel the Spirit of God in the house of God on the Lord's Day. God, I sometimes wonder what John, the Revelator, felt, Lord, on that Isle of Patmos, but yet I believe that I feel the same presence of God from day to day. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You're inside of me and You dwell this unclean temple. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us this morning. God, that You'd deliver us from ourselves. Lord, that You'd let us preach Your Word as You'd see fit. And God, that, Lord, You'd prepare the hearts and the minds of Your congregation, Your people, Lord, that You've called this way, Lord, accept Your Word, Lord, that it may change them, that it may conform them into the image of Your Son. God, I pray, Lord, that You do great and mighty works. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You change somebody forever in eternity. This morning, let this be the day that somebody makes a choice that changes their life forever. God, I'm so thankful that You're my God and I'm just Your servant. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us. Lord, that You'd look upon us and be merciful and gracious to us as You always have. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. This verse number 12, Paul begins to tell Timothy here in the second letter to Timothy. He's telling Timothy a few things that he needs to learn and he needs to understand, because Timothy is starting up a church and he's starting to lead a people. And Paul said, you're going to need to know some things if you're going to lead a people in the right direction. And God gave me this thought, and it's very simple. You can write it down in the margin of your Bible if you want to. Personally, honestly, it probably ain't worth writing down because it's written down on my notes, and I'm not much, and I'm not nothing special, but I believe there's three things here in this text that we ought to know. I believe there's three things here that it's three things that I believe every Christian, but not only that, every person needs to know. Three things. Now I know there's so much more than that. There's so much knowledge and there's so much wisdom between the two, between the leather of this book. There's so much to be learned and so much to be understood. But just in this passage of Scripture, I saw three things. And I seen a word, I just read it a minute ago. Paul said, I know. And I looked for that word, know, in the Bible. And I found it three times in this chapter. I found the word know. Now, it's written in different contexts. It says one in one verse, it says knowing. But it's the word in. K-N-O-W. I ain't real good. I graduated from Paulding County. And y'all have to excuse me for my grammar and my spelling. I ain't real smart, but God placed the word know three times in this text. It shows up first time in verse number 12, but I want to skip down to verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. Paul begins to tell Timothy a few things. He says in verse 13, hold fast the sound words. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. And 14 says that in that good things which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou, what's that third word, knowest. This thou knowest. So here's that word know that we're looking at. That all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, it don't really matter so much that we understand who our enemies are, but I want you to know one thing. Not everybody's going to agree with you. You should know one thing. Now, before you get your feelings on your shoulders and you get hurt and you run away from God and you run away from the church and you completely backslide on God or you walk away from the faith or however you want to put it, I don't believe you can walk away from salvation, but there's a lot of people walking away from God. Walking away from the fellowship with God. And before you do that, I want you to know something. Not everybody's going to agree with you. I believe that I probably already said something this morning that not everybody agreed with me. And you know what? That's okay. Because I realize and I know that not everybody will go in the same direction I'm going. And not everybody's going to agree with every word that comes out of my mouth. I'm going to have enemies. And it said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. He said, there's a group of people over there in another country. They're turned away from me, which tells me that at one point in time, they was headed in the same direction. Now, how many of us have had our hearts broken because somebody that we was partnered up with, that we were joined up with, we were fighting the same battle, we were fighting the same fight, and all of a sudden they made a choice and a decision to turn around and go back the other way, maybe because it was too hard, or maybe because they done bit off more than they could chew, but for some reason they made a choice to turn around. Paul said, all they which are in Asia, they be turned away from me. Tells me they was going in the same direction. They might have been fighting the same fight. They might have agreed at some point in time in the past, but something happened, and somewhere, at some point in time, they turned their backs on Paul and began to walk in a different direction. Paul wouldn't tore up about it. He just told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you already know this, but not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody is walking with me. Paul probably had the least amount of followers than any other preacher in the Bible, but yet was one of the greatest apostles to the church, New Testament church. Now, if you decide today that you want to follow God, chances are not everybody's going to follow. Matter of fact, very few people will go along with you. It ain't because they don't like you. It ain't because they don't love you. It's because they're afraid of the same battle you're putting yourself in. Most of us live in fear from day to day, thinking that we can't do what God has called us to do. I remember when I was 15 years old, God called me to preach, and I lived in fear knowing that I couldn't do what God had called me to do. But sometimes you just got to fight a battle that God puts you in. Sometimes you just got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and say, if you said it, I'll do it. Because obviously, because you called me, you made a way. And that's not the end of the story. For years, I stumbled. And I still do. Boy, I'm about the worst preacher I've ever heard. And I listen, and for years I go on, and I'd be so glad if I could come up with about 10 minutes worth of scripture reading. And if God could put anything else in there, I was tickled to death. And now, several years later, I tell God, quit giving me stuff because they want me to shut up, and I don't know how. Not that I'm a good preacher. I know I'm not. But I also know not everybody's going to go with me. If you choose this morning, if you choose to go with God, chances are most of your family is probably not going to appreciate your choice. It ain't because they don't love you. Oh, the reason why they don't appreciate your choice is because they do love you. Because the more time you spend with God, less time you're going to spend with others. See, people just don't like it when you tell them you can't go hang out because you got to spend some time with God. Or instead of going to the ball game, you're going to go down to the briar patch and you're going to, not the one you eat at down yonder in Hiram, but going down to the briar patch and you're going to kneel down in prayer to God, asking Him to touch your life and to put His anointing upon you that you might do the work that He's called you to do. Not everybody is going to go along with you. One thing, you need to know this. You're going to have enemies. You will have enemies. Paul had them. Jesus had them before he did. And if Jesus is good enough to have enemies, bless God, it's not going to hurt me none to have some myself. The scripture bothered me for a great deal for some time. I called my pastor one day. This has been several years ago. I called my pastor and we talked on a daily basis pretty much. And I said, I got a problem. He said, what's that? I said, I've been struggling with something. The scripture says that beware of whom all speak well of. And I pondered that in my mind for several days. And I said, I can't think of nobody that don't speak well of me. I thought everybody was my friend. And everybody loved me. Nick, you know I'm a very lovable kind of guy. Most people like me. And I told my pastor, I said, that bothers me. Am I out of the will of God? Am I like a wolf in sheep's clothing? He said, well, if you are, you'll find out pretty soon, I'm sure. He said, but I just don't think that people like you as much as you think they do. And that was hard advice. I thought, well, I began to pray. God, show me what's really true. Show me what's really there. And next thing you know, I had enemies just jumping out of the woodwork. People I was once walking with, people that I once shared prayers with, and I worshiped with, and next thing you know, they're standing up and speaking evil against me, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm sorry I ever prayed that prayer. But it's just, you should know one thing, you're going to have enemies. And the Bible does say, beware of whom all speak well of. If you're a child of God, you're going to have enemies. I believe we should know one more thing, two more things. I got three no's here, if you're wondering. Look in verse number 16. It said, thou knowest that all they which in Asia be turned away from me. And then verse 16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now he went from one extreme to the other. Now, I don't believe this word was written out of context, and I don't believe God didn't know what He was doing when He inspired the great men that penned it down. Now, I believe every word is there and every verse is in its place. But He went from talking about His enemies in one verse to talking about His friend in another one. I want you to know one thing. Other than just the fact that you're going to have enemies, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Oh, Lord, the preacher done said that nobody likes me and everybody hates me and they probably think that my hair don't look good and that my clothes are out of style and all these things. No, don't go out of here just disappointed and ashamed, because there's a good thing here. I want you to know that some people deserve tribute. Some people are on your side. There's this man in... Y'all forgive me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, because I am from Paulding County. Onesiphorus was a friend of Paul. Paul said, there's this man, and he often, didn't just once or twice, but he often refreshed me. There'll be some people that'll love you. So when you think that nobody does, when you think God's got you in a storm and everybody hates your guts, you just know the one thing, that's not true. When you think that you don't have a friend in the world, well, that preacher's right, everybody's my enemy. That's not what I'm telling you. You will have enemies, but there will be some that will be your friend. You better know that you're going to have some. And they deserve tribute. Paul wrote that man's name in the Word of God. And it wasn't without the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That man had done something great. And he deserved tribute that he might be spoken, that his name might be spoken at Welcome Grove Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. Because he did something good for the man of God. And if you'll serve God, if you'll trust in Him, you may have enemies, but there'll be some that'll help you out in your time of trouble. There'll be some that might come your way, might give you a phone call in the wee hours of the night saying, I don't know why, but God just woke me up and I said a prayer for you and I sure hope you're okay. It'll happen. You will have enemies. Know that you'll have enemies, but you better know there'll be some. And it may be not much, but it'll be all that you'll need, some friends that deserve tribute. But I want to talk about verse 12. Boy, this is my favorite. If you don't pick up on anything else in the message this morning, for the which cause, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Paul said, for I know whom I have believed. And he didn't even stop there, but he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you don't pick up, if you don't know about your enemies and you don't really know about your friends, I want you to know one thing. If you don't leave out of here with anything else, know this. Jesus. You better know Jesus. It's one thing to know who your enemies are, and it's another thing to know who your friends are, but you better know Jesus. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. I believe that meant, I believe just like I did, as a small child, I was raised up. I heard the story. I knew how David killed Goliath, and I knew about them three, I always called them Hebrew children, but the Bible don't say children, it's Chaldeans. But anyways, I knew them stories growing up and how they walked in the fire and there was a fourth man in there that was Jesus Christ and all this stuff come to pass. But one day at 11 years old, I knew the stories, I could tell you about Jesus, but one day at 11 years old, Jesus got real to me. And from then, I knew Him. Ever since I was 11 years old, I could tell you I know Jesus. But not only do I know Jesus, since then I have been persuaded of a lot of things. Since I've known Him, He's persuaded that He's able to do a lot more than I ever gave Him credit for. Since I've come to know Him, He is able to keep a whole lot more than what I gave Him credit for at the start. See, I grew up, y'all might not know this about me. I grew up, raised up, believing that if a person was saved and they lived in sin and they died, I was taught they would go to hell. Y'all, most Baptists call it once saved, always saved. I call it eternal security. I wasn't taught that growing up. I wasn't showed that by my parents. My preacher didn't preach that way. And I grew up in the fear. I mean, since I've been saved, I grew up after 11 years old. I was a Christian and I lived for God with the fear in my heart that He wasn't able to keep me if I was to fall. But He's persuaded me since then. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep. When I was 11 years old, I committed my soul to Him. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep my soul. And when He saves my children, I'm persuaded He's able to keep them too. If you don't know anything else this morning, I pray you know Jesus. He's the best thing you could know. You better. And it's not just about the stories. You could know the stories. You can have an experience But you need to have a relationship with God. Heard a preacher testify this morning. We was in a brotherhood meeting. And said that when he was a young boy, he repeated after some preacher and he said some little prayer. And from then on, he thought that he was just like everybody else. Problem was, there was nothing keeping him in. There was nothing that was protecting him. There was nothing keeping him in the right way and in the house of God. And as he got older, he went his own way and did his own thing. And he had children that he was raising up outside of church. And his wife wasn't in church and he wasn't in church. And all these things happened. And he said one day, it wasn't by no chance, but God had planned. And God had made a way to get him in the house of God. Said he went by the church and where his dad went to church in Powder Springs and said that they was working on the church that night. They was pulling new wires for the sound system. And he thought he'd go in there and just chat with them for a while. And he stayed there till nearly 2 o'clock in the morning helping them pull wires, because that next morning was their Jubilee service that Sunday morning. The preacher said that he stayed in there and he was very impressed at how the pastor was there until 2 o'clock in the morning. He just thought, well, surely the pastor would go home early and try to get some sleep because he had to preach the next day. He said, but that pastor, that preacher stayed with him the whole time and they pulled them wires and got done about 2 o'clock in the morning. He was headed home through Hiram. He decided, well, I'm just going to stop here in Walmart and get me some clothes. I think I might just go to church in the morning. He said all he had was some like brogan boots and blue jeans and a flannel shirt. Didn't have nothing really fit that he thought to wear to church. So he said, well, I'm going to go by Walmart, and it's open 24 hours a day. I'm going to stop and get me something that's a little more presentable to go to church in. He said he went through Walmart, and as he was looking through the clothes, he run into somebody he knew. It was his wife. He said, honey, what are you doing here? She said, oh, I done got, what do you think about this dress? And I picked you out some clothes. I thought we might go to church in the morning. To make a long story short, God gloriously saved him and his wife and his children. And it wasn't good enough as a small boy to repeat a prayer, but ever since then, he's known God like he never knew him before. Would you stand with us as they come with a verse of song? With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to search your heart this morning. Now, you might be saved and you might be living a much better life than probably what I live. And you might be struggling because not everything always goes your way. Not everybody always agrees with you, and you feel like you shouldn't have any enemies because you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. I want you to know that everybody's going to have enemies. And you may feel like nobody loves you, nobody cares. And I want you to know also that there are people who do care. There are those that God will send to refresh you. But you might be here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is. You might be here this morning and your heart's pounding out of your chest because you just don't know what would happen if you died. If you're not 100% sure of what would happen to you, you can know before you leave this service this morning. A friend of mine once said, you've heard this many times, 99% sure is 100% lost. And if I could say anything else this morning, I want you to know before you leave here, I want you to know Jesus. If He's calling you to be saved, if you say, well, preacher, I don't know what's going on, but I ain't never felt this way before, you might as well just come on down. You're the next contestant. Jesus will save you. He'll move into your life and you won't never be the same again. Can we all go home saying that we know Jesus? Can we all leave this place this morning saying that we know God without a shadow of a doubt? If you can't, would you come this morning? Would you come as they sing a verse of song? If you got lost loved ones, you want them to get saved, now it'd be a good time to come pray for them. If you're struggling with some cares and burdens and worries of this world, maybe right now would be a good time to come on down here and just pray to God, ask Him to help you. Would you come?